Well, dear friends, in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. One of the great joys that I have had in these last 12 years of ministry among you is working alongside our social missions team and the development, the fostering of relationships that we have with our global partners. Global partners like with Latin American Lutheran Missions, global partners like the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Tanzania, the Central Diocese, and of course our partner congregation, Cristo Rey in Puerto Rico. Well, it was just 2 years ago at this very time of year that I traveled with a small group from Bethel to Tanzania, not to the Central Diocese, but to the children's hospital that has been in the midst of construction in Zinga, Tanzania. Now, you perhaps recall there was a little story connected to that in a previous sermon about an encounter with a lion, a little too close of an encounter, frankly, but we don't have to go to that story again today. But I hope that if someday you have opportunity to travel to Tanzania, one of the first things that you will experience firsthand is the incredible gifts of hospitality and kindness of the people of Tanzania. In fact, it is that hospitality that continues to resonate with my experience as I think back on the times I've been able to travel. Those three trips to Tanzania included a practice that has always been a meaningful thing when I have been able to join at a table with our Tanzanian brothers and sisters. That simple act is hand washing. Now, that's not all that phenomenal in the sense that we wash our hands all the time before a meal, and now we're especially mindful of washing our hands. But there is something almost sacred about washing one's hands before a meal in Tanzania. Perhaps it's the care that is taken to prepare a basin on a small table, sometimes even covered with a tablecloth. Next to that basin is a bar of soap, a fresh, clean towel that has been folded and is ready to be used, and then a pitcher filled with clean water. You, as the guest, are invited to come to the table to place your hands over the basin, and then the host, sometimes the cook, maybe one of the servers, will come and take that pitcher of water and pour over your hands the water, ask you to take the soap and to lather up, and then pours the water over again so that your hands are clean, offers you a towel, you dry your hands, and then you are invited to be seated at the table. It is a simple act. It is an important act of good hygiene, but something about it sets the tone for the meal. It is a true act of hospitality. Today, in our gospel reading, we discover Jesus not washing the disciples' hands, but washing their feet. Now, this wouldn't be all that unusual in the ancient world. In fact, it would be of a practice, especially around this Passover meal, that as one would come to the table, not only would you be sitting, but actually reclining, so one's feet might be as close to the table as one's hands. But certainly the task of washing feet was given to a servant, probably rarely to a host. A servant would want to be a reflection of the host's welcoming spirit so that one would know they were a welcomed guest, that they were made clean and now welcome to this table to enjoy this fellowship together. Now, Jesus going about this act actually serves as a foreshadowing to the act that will be coming just a few days later, an action that is so much more extreme, so much more than even this surprise to the disciples of him washing their feet. For he will make a journey on a dusty road to a place called Calvary, and there will give the ultimate act of selfless giving, a pouring out of one's whole self for the sake of the world. Philippians helps us to have words attached to this extreme act by which Jesus provides redemption and offers forgiveness. Philippians says, Jesus emptied himself, taking on the form of a slave, being of human likeness, being of human form. He humbled himself, and he became obedient, obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For just a moment, with drops of water poured over dirty feet, that day's grime washed away, why, in just a few days, a pouring out of a whole self so that a new self might arise. Why, that would be the true gift, the ultimate act of service and love. And that kind of action that Jesus does for you and for his disciples, why, that changes things. In fact, it changes everything. It changes even the way we do our own acts of service, have our own mind reframed and reformed because of Jesus emptying himself for us. Again, Philippians gives us language for this. Our reading began today by saying, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation in love, be of the same mind that was in Christ, of the same spirit. That mindfulness, that spirit of Christ is centered in love, love in actions of service. Now, love is the focus of our readings in these many weeks as we have moved from faith, hope, to love in our preaching series. And as we learned last week, that foundation of love is right away given to us in the Old Testament command, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your soul." And then we learned last week, of course, when Jesus repeats this important command, he adds heart, soul, strength, and mind. That mindfulness is important enough for Paul to mention several times in his reading today from Philippians, that to have the same mind as Christ, to have this loving mindset toward the neighbor is to lose yourself, to give up anything that is selfish, any selfish ambitions. Paul says, get rid of them. Look to the interests of others. Look upon others as better than yourselves. This kind of mindfulness doesn't come easily for us. It takes work. It takes focus. It takes attention. It takes the gift of grace poured out for you, poured out for me each day. And that kind of love oftentimes can be brought into that word that Philippians uses as well, that word of compassion. For when we have the mindfulness of Christ, we have a compassionate spirit. We are allowed to enter into the experience of another. That emptying is a part of compassionate servant living. In fact, the psychiatrist Alfred Adler has said that the definition for compassion is to see with the eyes of another, to listen with the ears of another, and to feel with the heart of another. Listening, looking, feeling, why we can enter in, we can experience and see things in ways that give us the mind of Christ. I don't know about you, but every now and again I'm reminded of the little things that I miss in this time of pandemic. Sometimes they surprise me, sometimes just little things that I have taken for granted. One of those is the opportunity to just go inside a restaurant and enjoy a leisurely meal with my family or with my friends, to not feel rushed or uncomfortable, but just to enjoy that time. I haven't felt really ready to do that, or safe, I guess you could say, to spend that kind of time, but I've appreciated that there have been some open air opportunities, that there have been some patios that we can gather on if I've met up with friends or family. Apparently, in the hospitality industry, there are 5 important rules for a good experience when one is dining out or experiencing a travel of some sort. The number one thing that hospitality industry workers have to focus on is attention to detail. Think about it. When you have had that great experience in a restaurant, sometimes it's just the little things beyond the food or even the gathering of people. For example, this past week, I did meet a friend We met on a patio of a restaurant here in Rochester, and my friend has a very beloved pet, a dog. So she had called ahead and asked if her dog might be welcome at this restaurant since we were going to be eating outdoors. Well, they said, yep, bring your dog, no problem. We came to the table where the host was, and we were seated in a great spot. So the dog was happy, and we were in a good spot, open air, beautiful, warm summer evening. Well, as is expected, the server came to the table, and the server asked that first question, which is, what can I get for you to drink? Well, of course, we gave our drink order, and then the server said this, you know, I noticed you brought your dog today. Would it be okay if I went and got a bowl of water for your dog and brought that out? It's a really warm evening. Would you appreciate that? Oh, wow. If that didn't just open the door to a wonderful evening, it set the tone. That little bowl of water for that beloved puppy. Oh, it was a great night. Attention to details. Jesus, after washing his disciples' feet, says, do you know what I have done for you? Do you know what I have done to you? And it isn't really a trick question. It's pretty obvious what has happened there. In fact, it's probably a bit of a shock again for the disciples, but he doesn't even give them a moment to respond. He says, if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Think of the experiences you have had. Hand washing in Tanzania, a simple bowl of water brought for a beloved pet. Acts that stick with you as incredible acts of kindness, maybe even mercy and hospitality. Jesus wants to have a moment with the disciples where they never forget what has happened there, where they are open to what is about to happen that they also must proclaim and live out fully in their lives. Acts of humble service for the neighbor, acts that pour out love for others. Micah asks a similar question in our Old Testament reading. What does the Lord require of you? And the response is to do justice, to love kindness, to walk humbly with our God. Jesus' response to that question is to wash one another's feet. So perhaps this day, as we are mindful of love, we can reframe the question. What does love require of us? As you come into the parking lot, in our parking lot here at Bethel, we have banners that say, God is love. So then, what does God require of us? What does love require of us? After 5 months of living in a pandemic, it's a good question for us to ask every day. What does love require of me as I become weary of these days? After 3 months of a terrible injustice done on the streets of Minneapolis and a new rising up of a call to cry out against places where there is racial injustice, what does love require of me? And in a week when we have wrapped our mind around changes to the coming school year and decisions of our school district, you as families have been wrestling with what does love require of us for the sake of our children, for the sake of supporting education. And every day we awaken to the reality that things are not normal. So what does love require of me as I live with family, as I care for friends, as I seek to be faithful in my calling? Sometimes love is simply in the little things, maybe as little as a mask. That is a selfless way to protect others. Maybe it's in the grand things, the calling out of injustices. Maybe it is starting at the foot of the cross and opening up one's heart and life to ask the question, what does love, what do you, Jesus, require of me? And Jesus' response is, if you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Amen.